Romans chapter 1. We know that the gospel, the literal translation of that is good news. But what would happen if a person walked into the service tonight and had no hope? And I mean desperate. Desperately not wanting to face God in judgment. Or if they're convicted of sin, they're tormented day and night, and they're looking for hope. What good news would we tell them? That could be a sinner that's never heard of the Bible. They've never heard of who God is. It could be someone that's walked with Christ just a little while. They could be in despair. It could be someone that's walked with Christ for a long time, for the bulk of their life, and they could still be just miserable and needing hope. What would we tell them? What good news would we give them? If that sinner facing eternity came to listen to someone speak to them, to give them good news, to give them hope, and a man stood here and he only told them more of what they need to do, that wouldn't be good news, would it? What comfort would there be if a man stood here and just gave them historical facts, or they had puppet shows, or a basketball team, or all of these things are so common that we see? It wouldn't be the gospel. It wouldn't be good news to them. It wouldn't be good news to me if I'm needy. I have a desire to know the gospel. I have a desire to know that good news. And I want to grow in knowledge. I want to grow in grace and understanding. And I want to be able to preach that good news to sinners. I pray the Lord give me ability to speak to where people can understand me and He uses me. And I want to be kept. I want to be kept looking to that promise of my hope. That's what I want. But what is that gospel preaching? What is that good news? What's the gospel? We hear that so many times that, oh, he's a gospel preacher. They preach the full gospel. A lot of people ask me if I preach the full gospel. And anytime I've experienced that, I'm sure not always, but there's one precept that they're wanting to hear. There's one thing. They don't want the full gospel or want to know what the gospel is. There's one detail they're honed in on. But I want to know plainly what that good news is. Do you? I want to know where to put all my hope. That's what I want. So let's look at what Paul wrote here to the church in Rome. He had never visited Rome, but he's still in Corinth when he wrote this. And like many of the beginning of his epistles, his letters to those other churches, it could seem that it begins the same. And I know for me, it was easy for me to read over it. Like, well, that's the introduction. Paul, a servant of Christ, and all right, let's get to the meat and potatoes, you know. But there's so much there. As I began to sit down and study through these epistles and look to go through them in order and seek a message, I had to stop with only those first seven verses. So in this brief greeting, Paul introduces himself, but he quickly cuts to the chase, just like he did there in Galatians. And he declares in plain, simple terms what the gospel is. He shows us. We'll read that Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is that gospel? The gospel is the message of all the Holy Scriptures concerning God's Son, concerning Christ Jesus. This whole book, from beginning to end, it's concerning Christ. It's about Christ. I've told you before, it's a hymn book. It's H-I-M. It's all about Christ, isn't it? But it's impossible to preach from it and to preach the gospel without preaching Christ, who he is and his person and the work that he accomplished, what's finished. And that doesn't mean sometimes. It means all the time. And I pray and I hope you pray for me that the Lord keeps me and enables me to consistently preach Christ from this pulpit, and that this congregation consistently is the light preaching Christ in this part of the country. But going back to verse 1, we'll read the first three verses again. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And he's going to tell us what that is. In parentheses it says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That's the Old Testament. All those prophets of old promised of Christ. Verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That's the New Testament. That's from Christ's birth and through his work on this world. So Paul also wrote of this in 1 Corinthians. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and was that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He says that twice, two quick sentences, according to the Scriptures. So that's important, isn't it? The Old Testament, it's been said the Old Testament is the gospel concealed and the New Testament is the gospel revealed. That's right. Christ Jesus is the message of the Old Testament Scriptures, the same as he's the message of this New Testament that we have. There in verse 2, Paul says, which, speaking of God, which God had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. All the Old Testament Scriptures were concerning Christ, in either picture, in type, in ceremony, or in prophecy. In Luke, Christ spoke to one of those walking with him to Emmaus, which we spoke of the other day. He said, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Shouldn't these things have happened? And it says there in Luke 24:27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Wouldn't that have been miraculous? Have our Savior, God in the flesh, sit down with you, open the Scriptures up, beginning in Moses, and said, "I'm gonna. This all speaks of me, and here's how." And tell us plainly and truly. That's truth right there. That would have been something. So how do we now see, do we now understand that what the gospel is isn't what we're looking for? A lot of people want to know what the gospel is. Our gospel is who the gospel is. Our good news is a person, isn't it? It's not a systematic theological doctrine or a set of steps or a program we have to go through or something we have to attain or stop doing or start doing. It's a person. That's the good news. Now, it's nothing in me, it's in him. But I want to briefly just touch on some of the Old Testament pictures of Christ so we can see what these Scriptures are talking about when it keeps saying according to the Scriptures. We know after Adam, he took this entire humanity, the whole human race, and we went into sin and despair. We were separated from God. God promised Christ, didn't he? He said he'd give the seed to the woman. He was speaking to the serpent. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is in Genesis 3. But by Adam's sin, we came under the power of the prince of the air. When Adam fell, we became attached and ruled and governed by Satan, didn't we? But Christ, that seed of woman, he came forth as a man, just as we are. Like those he came to save. He came made just as we are in flesh. He knows the feeling of our infirmities. But he came to deliver us from the devil by allowing the devil to bruise his heel on the cross. But in doing so, Christ being lifted up on that cross, he crushed the serpent's head, didn't he? He was successful. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's us, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Christ became flesh, that through death he might destroy him that had power over death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We were afraid. We were scared of that bondage that we were trapped in, weren't we? But he came and was made like us so that way he could bear that justice and judgment that we deserve. We see that through Adam and the seed of woman. And then in the garden, God gave us a picture of Christ making a covering and covering our father Adam, didn't he? He said unto Adam and Eve, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Not only did he give us our righteousness, he provided that for his people through his Son. He clothed us and brings us to faith in Christ, doesn't he? He makes it and he puts it on us. Isaiah 61 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. The bridegroom does that. So we see in that first animal slain to give us a covering. Me and my pastor are talking a lot about that. How we come, how we dress, that's our gospel, isn't it? Whenever we approach the Lord, the garments that we have on, do we wear our own, those filthy rags? Or do we wear that coat of righteousness of Christ that was put on us, that was made for us and put on us? Then we come to Noah in the Scriptures. What was so special about Noah? People say, well, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, didn't he? Well, Noah didn't do something and then find grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord was gracious to Noah, and then Noah found out about it. We should read that kind of backwards, shouldn't we? We see everything backwards. But what happened with Noah? Every heart and mind on this earth was enmity towards God. They hated God. They probably didn't. It's just like in our day now, no one, you walk up and down the streets, most people would say, well, no, I don't hate God. But in their own mind, not through their actions and through their heart's desires, you know. And so that punishment, that judgment from the Lord had to come down. He says, I will not pardon sin. It has to be punished. He's just. And so that rain came down and it flooded and it killed all those deserving of death. And it killed Noah too. But Noah was inside that ark. All that wrath came to Noah, but it was all bore. That burden was held by that ark, and that ark was Christ, wasn't it? That's a whole picture of Noah's ark. It's not something to put on walls for little children, and it's not a good time story to entertain people. No, that's a picture of our Redeemer, isn't it? Something to take seriously. Then we get to Abraham. The Lord preached to Abraham, and he said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And the Holy Spirit declares through Paul, Paul writes this in Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, plural, as to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Paul tells us plainly, doesn't he? That seed that would come through Abraham, it wasn't all the children of Abraham, it was that one seed, that one in the lineage of him, that was Christ. Abraham went up to that mountain to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, his firstborn son, right? From Sarah. We see Christ, that substitutionary lamb caught in that thorn bush. It has its the rack of that ram was caught in the thorns. What happened to Christ on the cross? He had a crown of thorns, didn't he? There's just so many small things that we just read right over. This is declaring Christ is coming, and this is how he's going to come. And then he came. I can say I'm going to do something. I have a plan tomorrow. We're going to go do some paperwork, and I'm not be homeless anymore. I'm going to own a house in California. I plan to do that. I may be there tomorrow morning. I may not. Those people may have the paperwork ready. They may not. When the Lord says, that's something of His sovereignty and His majesty. He said, this is how I'm going to do it. And then He executes it exactly the way He says He's going to do it. He told Israel that. He said, here's all the things I'm going to do for you. And they came to pass. He said, but you're going to inquire of me. I'll have you ask me for it. And we do, don't we? We pray for the Lord's mercy. He'll be gracious to us. He'll watch us. He'll keep us forever. But we ask Him. Ask Him every day. John the Baptist pointed to Christ plainly. And we're speaking of this Lamb. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away sin of the world. Christ is that Lamb. The Passover Lamb. That night that God passed through Egypt, He slew the firstborn of every household in Egypt. That was all the people in Egypt. That the tribe of Israel, the people of Israel, all of their firstborns died too. They just didn't pay that death, that lamb that was provided. That was the death. It died in their place. They put it on the doorpost. The Lord came, He saw the blood, said, I'll pass by you. Christ is our Passover Lamb. Every sinner that comes on the face of this earth, I don't know anybody that's died and still alive. Do you? I've never met anybody. As long as I've been on this earth, people, you go through life, you get old and you pass away and you don't come back. Or you're young and have an accident. Lord can take a life today. This might be the last time we're allowed to be here. It might be the last time I'm allowed to stand here. And I don't know anyone that's come back, but everybody that's born on the face of this earth will face the judgment of Christ, of God the Father, and He will punish sin now. He'll punish it in you, and you'll bear that burden. You'll bear that payment for eternity. Or Christ bore in our place, in our room instead. It's one or the other. There's only two ways that the Lord's going to deal with sin. He's going to punish it both ways. But either He's going to punish it in us, or He's going to punish it in our substitute, won't He? So we can go on and on through the Old Testament and look at all these pictures. But the gospel of God, like Paul said there in verse 2, which He had promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our gospel. Christ Jesus the Lord is our gospel. That's our good news. Now, we see who the gospel is, and we saw what He will and shall accomplish. So, what happens to the child of God when they hear that news? What happens? So look there in verse 4, Romans 1, verse 4. Paul writes, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. We can kind of read that one backwards too. We are resurrected from the dead. We're given life according to that Spirit of holiness. The Holy Spirit comes in. We're born again. We're quickened. We're given a new heart, a new life in us. And then we see that power of the Son of God, don't we? That's when we're able to look and say, look how powerful Christ was when He came. When He humbled Himself, He made Himself the least of all His brethren. Just as Christ receives all the glory for establishing us in righteousness, Christ receives the glory for putting us in a new spirit. There's no guile in bringing us to believe on Him. He gets the glory for all of it. That's what happens whenever He gives us that life and we're able to see what that good news is. Christ is our righteousness. He's our sanctification. We have nothing to do with making ourselves either one of those. I can't make myself righteous, and I can't sanctify myself. I can't set myself apart. I can't make myself holy. That's a dirty rag trying to wash another dirty rag. You know, we mopped a lot of floors, ain't we, Bob? You got dirty mop water, you ain't going to clean a floor. You can mop all day. Paul wrote this, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. His faith is the reason I'm alive. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is salvation. A lot of people ask me, especially in the last year or so, when were you saved? And if they catch me on the right day, I may respond and tell them, do you mean when did I begin giving Christ all the glory and salvation? And that stops the line of questioning quite often, especially if I'm out in public. That ends it. But if you truly, in your heart, if you look to Christ only for your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification, your redemption, you say, what have you done? I've done nothing. Look to Him. That's the required answer when we stand before God. And God the Father says, where's your righteousness? Where's your sanctification? Well, I did this, and I studied hard, and I woke up early, and I gave tithed a lot. And nope, you're in trouble, buddy. You say, it's all in Him. It's all in Christ. That's it. And they'll say, come, my good and faithful servant, come in. But we learn who the gospel is. We experience that, what happens when we effectually hear it, when the Lord quickens us and gives us life. And so lastly, what's our charge when we've heard it? What's given to us? There in Romans 1 and verse 5, it says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Through the gospel, Christ brings us down. He shows us who Christ is. He shows His worth and His perfection. And just in turn, that shows us what we are, don't it? That comes natural. You elevate that, elevate Christ, and man's brought to the dirt. Most people don't like to hear that, but that's the only hope we have. Whenever He brings us down, He fills us with love for Christ. He fills us with love for our brethren, Christ in them, don't He? He makes us not be ashamed of this gospel. Why would I get that way? There's times I'll clam up and not want to talk on an elevator or grocery store or anything. I don't know why. I should be on the streets declaring it to anybody who'd listen. Come here, I got good news. I want to tell you something. If my favorite football team had won the Super Bowl, I'd be telling people in line at the grocery store. But why I wouldn't tell this good news? But He makes us not ashamed when people ask us. He gives us that faith and that grace and ability when it's time to share the gospel. But we seek to spread that gospel. The same way we received this ministry, the same way that we were brought into knowledge of Christ, that same method, the same way He uses forever. And it's the reason we don't faint when it's time to tell someone who Christ is. And we decline any falsehood, any lie towards Him, and we preach the truth. We preach the truth, don't we? Together as a body. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, there in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. What does that mean? So many people, they take the word of God and they just take words and they try to make it sound the way they want it to sound, to fit them. We don't bend God to fit us. God bends us to be made the way He wants us made, to conform us to the image of Christ, doesn't He? We don't use it for our own glory or our own gain. There in verse 2, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He gave us that knowledge to see Christ's face, didn't He? But we have this treasure in earthen vessel. We have it in these flesh and bones, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If we understand this gospel and we have the ability to look to Christ only, that's absolute proof it's not of us, isn't it? When Christ was had approached Paul on that road to Damascus we looked at last month. The Lord said to Ananias in Acts chapter 9, said, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." These are for the Lord's name. Paul bore Christ's name before the Gentiles by preaching Christ to them. He carried it. He bore it. That is what Christ has called us to do. To bear His name. That demoniac in the country of the Gardeans, the Lord healed. There in Mark 5, he said, "Pray him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus hath done for him, and all men did marvel." I wish I was able to do that consistently. Not just an hour a week standing up here and telling you. I pray that all day and every day in my conversations be with you nothing but Christ and Him crucified. And just tell you and to fellowship, be the fellows in the same ship. And that boat's Christ. That's our ship. And talk of Him and publish Him. And I hope I could do it in a way that men would marvel. Oh, it'd be pleasing. I pray the Lord let me do that. But when we tell those people, when the Lord does enable us here and there to profess Christ to someone, what do we tell them? Back there in our text, let's look in Romans chapter 1, verse 7. We have some good news now to tell them. If the Lord teaches you what that gospel is, you experience it effectually, you have new life in you, and He puts it in your heart to bear His name, to go out and spread this gospel forth. Here in Romans 1, verse 7, here's what Paul tells these believers he's never met. He says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace. He's asking, "Well, the Lord, may the Lord be gracious to you. May He give you something you don't deserve." And if He does that, if the Lord's gracious to someone, you're going to have peace. You come in, you're in despair, and you don't have any hope, and you don't know what to do with yourself, and you're miserable, and you're tormented, you have no hope. Where's the peace? From the grace of God. And He gives us that grace in Christ and His Son, and we have peace. We can go home and sleep well at night with that. Look to Christ if you've never looked to Him, and you'll have peace. If you've just begun looking to Christ, keep looking to Christ. If you've looked to Christ for years and years and decades, remember your first love as He commands us and continue in Him. And I promise, He has promised, He'll keep us and He shall be faithful. And throughout, as proof to that, if it was a logical debate, the Lord had the entire Old Testament to tell us, "Here's what I'm going to do. And this is exactly how I'm going to do it. They're going to cast lots on his coat. They're going to make a sign above him. He's going to be born here." Everything. Everything's done. He said, "That's exactly how I'm going to do it." And then it come to pass. If all that happened, and I can look at that, I have just a mountain of history with him, seeing the Lord work and His providence and His power. And He says, "Little old me." If He controlled all those things throughout the history of time, and He said, "Kevin, I'm gonna keep you," I think He could do it, couldn't He? You think He can do it? Look to Him. Keep looking to Him. If you're happy, especially then, look to Him. If you're sad, look to Him. If you have no hope, come here. Look to Him. I pray as a blessing to you all.